Good morning. We do indeed have a wonderful crowd today. We're delighted to have you. During this holiday time, we have a lot of folks who normally will leave, but it seems we've got a lot of folks who have stayed and others who have come to join us. We are delighted to have so many guests with us. And we are appreciative that you have chosen to worship with our church family here at Parkway. I'm opening my Bible to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at some familiar verses, verses 12 through 15 of Colossians chapter 3 as we begin this morning. It is that holiday time, it's on our minds, especially those who are involved in the school system, like my wife who teaches school or is a counselor for a school now, and she doesn't go back till a week from Monday. So she's on vacation, just like all you guys are too. I know you're excited about no school for an entire week. But it's also a very special time because of our national holiday. When we reflect on all that we have to be thankful for as a nation. I've seen people from time to time have 30 days of thankfulness, and they'll recount something each day that they're thankful for. Of course, ideally, we should be thankful every day. And I know that we are. In these verses that we're going to read, Paul talks about being thankful because of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Let's start reading in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And here it is. And be thankful. Let's pause there for just a moment. Think of all the lofty concepts that he has admonished us to aspire to. We are to have compassionate hearts. And then he will also talk about love. Above all these, put on love. And then he says we must also be thankful. This is an important concept for us as Christians, because we have so much to be thankful for. And this is emphasized in the pages of the New Testament in particular. God expected His covenant people, when they came out of Egypt, to be filled with thanksgiving and excitement. Instead, what do? They immediately started to complain about what they had left behind. Does that sound very thankful to you? When somebody does something gracious for us, we don't then turn around and nitpick it and complain about it. We've got a saying about that. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. We start criticizing the gifts that God has given us. Well, we've got a problem. Because God takes very seriously the sin of being ungrateful. In fact, in the litany of sins listed in Romans chapter 1, Paul mentions they were unthankful, ungrateful. He takes this very seriously. So, during this appropriate time of year, we're going to think about being thankful. We are admonished to in these verses. And I'd like for you to consider with me, first of all, as we consider this concept of being thankful, that we should count our blessings. We've even got a song that says something like that, don't we? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. The Apostle Paul was somebody who dedicated his life to serving Jesus. Did he do it because it was glamorous? Because he made lots of money? Well, no. Instead, he was persecuted. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, he would write, "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." And he knew that firsthand. It's not despite being a Christian that we are persecuted. It's because we are Christians. This morning in our Bible class, we talked about the narrow way, the straight path. It's difficult. Well, becoming a Christian and serving God faithfully means we're going to go against the grain of every idea, every natural thought that the world has. We want to run counter to that. That's not fun. But the blessings that we have, not just promised to us, but the blessings that we have now, make it all worth it. The truly happy life that we as a Christian should have and must aspire for. Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 3, that we should be blessed and consider ourselves blessed because we have all spiritual blessings in Christ. Do you have all the gadgets that you want? All the clothes that you could ever wear that are so wonderful and great? And we might nitpick and say, well, I don't like this outfit, or I have an iPhone 5. Do they even work anymore? So old. Who wants that? Do we think about the spiritual blessings that we have in our lives that are constantly renewing, that give us the true satisfaction that God wants us to have? We've all seen the sourpuss people who are never happy, never satisfied, never appreciative. That's not what a Christian is supposed to do and to look like. Our lives should be characterized with thankfulness in our hearts. Paul will, in fact, go on to say that the Word of Christ should dwell in us richly as we teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen to this. With thankfulness in your hearts to God. As we sang the songs this morning, led by Lucas, did you think about how wonderful it is, how majestic it is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Because He loved us so much, He died on the cross. As you sang that, were your thoughts on how magnificent that blessing is? The Fountain Free, you led that song. And think about how it's free. Based on the language of Isaiah the prophet. Come, anyone who wants the water of life, come and get it freely. We are saved by the grace of God. It's nothing that we can earn. It's nothing that we can demand. Rather, God has given this freely to us. We can access the blood of Christ through baptism, find forgiveness. And it's not because we deserve it. It's because God has lavished His grace upon us, as Paul would say in Ephesians 2. We have been saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Let's sing together the song, Count Your Many Blessings. What number is that? 418. That's what I said. 118. I lost my piece of paper where I had them written down. Lucas, come on up and lead that for us. Count your blessings. Name them one by one.
One, three, and five. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. God have done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God have done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings. conflict, whether great or small. Do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count so many blessings angels will attend. Help and comfort give you and your journey's end. Count your blessings and them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, bring them one by one. Count so many blessings, see what God has done.
Please be seated.
Let me tell you what will absolutely rob you of a heart of thankfulness. And that is greed, dissatisfaction. I want to spend a few minutes talking to you about contentment. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for just a moment, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is going to tell us about his life serving the Lord when he didn't have a lot of money because of his conviction in preaching the gospel. He suffered a lot of persecutions, not speaking engagements, but he suffered because of his faith. Let's read together, starting in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. What he's saying is we have the gospel being preached by jars of clay, by fragile people. Why? To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Let's stop there and think about what Paul is saying. He is suffering because he is a preacher of the gospel. And he loves it. He is very grateful that the gospel is being preached. I want you to drop down to verse 15. He says, it is for your sake, so that the grace extends to more and more people. It may increase, listen to this, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. His efforts as a preacher is going to help people to hear the gospel, and they will begin to have thanksgiving in their hearts. And that's why Paul says, despite the persecution, he does not lose heart. Verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is a beautiful passage where Paul is describing the privilege of preaching the gospel. And a lot of people are suffering because of their faith. And just imagine the apostles, the tip of the spear, the ambassadors of Jesus going into hostile territory. And there were people who were supposed to have embraced them, the religious leaders, who were, in fact, condemning them and saying they're preaching false doctrine about the law of Moses. And in part, they were motivated by jealousy, these religious leaders were. And here are the apostles, people like Peter and John and Paul, dedicating their lives for a cause that they believed in more than anything. And what he says this is supposed to do is engender thankfulness. Thanksgiving increases to the glory of God. The word contentment is based on the same Latin root as containment. Think about that for a moment. We are content because we have contained everything that we have, everything that we need. We have a saying, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You start looking outside your container, and that's when the ugly head of jealousy begins to stand up. How many times have you heard somebody say something like this? If I only had a bigger house, then I would be happy. If I only had a new car, then I would be happy. What happens when we do get the bigger car? Are we suddenly going to be happy? Well, for 5 minutes. But that vehicle will also wear out. And eventually it won't be as exciting as it once was. I want you to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Esther. Esther is going to teach us about contentment and how it can lead to our destruction. Esther chapter 5 tells us about the antagonist in the story. Here's the bad guy. And his name is infamous for evil. It is Haman. Haman is the enemy of God's people. And he has so many blessings in his life. I want you to see him recount these. And so it says, verse 11, that Haman recounted to them the splendor of his riches, the number of his sons, all the promotions with which the king had honored him. What is Haman doing? He's counting his blessings here, folks. And so it says in verse 12, then Haman said, even Queen Esther, let no one but me come with the king to the feast she prepared. And tomorrow also I am invited by her with the king. I mean, this Haman guy has so much going for him. He is second only to the king. The queen seems to show favor to him. Of course, we all know there's a subplot going on here that he is not aware of. But now look at verse 13. This man who has it all says, yet all this is worth nothing to me so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Couldn't stand that guy. And his wife said, hey, let's kill Mordecai. Let's have some gallows built. And that got Haman excited. Now I want to pull from this Haman's displeasure at one item, one concern he had. Mordecai didn't bow down like everybody else did. He picked that one little problem and it ruined his whole day, ruined his whole life. And it eventually led to his own demise. Mordecai is supposed to, in Haman's mind, Mordecai is going to die on these gallows. It's actually Haman who dies on these gallows. He is the one who is killed. Our discontentment can make us miserable on this side of eternity. I'm going to read a few verses from Philippians chapter 10. Again, the Apostle Paul writing here in Philippians chapter 4. Did I say chapter 10? Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. I want you to see this man who was writing from prison talking about how happy he is, how content he is. And we're going to see why. He says, I have rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned, listen to this, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Here it is. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. How many of us can quote Philippians 4, verse 13? I can do all things through Him, through Christ, who strengthens me. Is Paul saying here in this context, I can run through a brick wall because God's helping me do that. Not a physical brick wall. But we can overcome any obstacle, whether it's something physical or mental. We can overcome our barriers that are placed before us because of the intestinal fortitude that is given to us by God. We can push through We can be content in every situation that we face because of the blessings we have from God. Where is Paul when he's writing these words? Do you remember? He's in prison for the terrible crime of preaching the gospel. What he said in 2 Corinthians 4 certainly came true. He is this vessel, jar of clay in which is the gospel, the precious gospel, and it's being preached, and he is being crushed, he is being persecuted, but he is content in a Roman dungeon. He is perfectly content because of the blessings he has in Christ. One last passage along this line, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. I know people who have so much going for them, at least from my perspective. They have great kids, they have a wonderful wife, great family, very beautiful home, and yet they have friends who make more money than them. They have associates that they're envious of, and they're not content. You take your eye off what you have, and because you're always looking beyond what you don't have. We're warned about that in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Contentment. It's not just a command. It is a side effect of being a Christian. What's eternal? That's what we cling to. That's what we long for. What's temporary means nothing ultimately. And I'd like for us to sing about that. Number 225. Heaven holds all to me. I'd like for us to sing a couple of verses of that as we think about how we must have our treasure not on the earth, but in heaven. 225.
Three verses. Earth holds no treasures but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven calls all.
Without measure will be my
Keep your psalm books. Number 668. Is that right? No, 663. Excuse me, 663. A little out of my comfort zone this morning, I guess. You can be grateful for this. This is my third and final point I'd like to make this morning. Express yourself. I think that's what we also find in Colossians 3. I'm going to go back to Colossians 3, read a couple of verses here. Verses 16 and 17. I want to remind you of what Paul said. We just read this a few minutes ago. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of Christ dwelleth within you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. So let's just think about this verse for a moment. He says that the word of Christ dwells in us, and then we express that outwardly. How do we do that? We're going to be teaching and admonishing. How? Through the singing that we do. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that's channeling. That's referring to the book of Psalms. All those psalms, those are the terms that are used to describe the various songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We express to each other, we express to God the thankfulness that is in our hearts. And we should do this all the time. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Express yourself. We tell our kids that, don't we? From an early age, we want them to express appreciation. Somebody gives my daughter a cookie. What do we want her to say? Thank you. And that's nice when she says that, when she's a little kid. And when she's older too, I guess. My son, he had a harder time with that. You give him a cookie and he'd say, thanks. That was just part of his personality. Your mom and dad teach you to say thank you? I know they do. Because that's just a skill we need to have all throughout our lives. As we close this morning and think about all that God has done for us, we count these blessings. We need to not just hold it all in, but express it and let folks know how much we appreciate them. Have you ever thought about all the blessings that God has given you and then shared that with somebody intentionally, purposefully, told them that you're thankful for them? Now again, it's that time of year. We're supposed to do this now. But let's keep this in mind and do it all year round. Let folks know how much we appreciate them. Because there will come a time when we're not able to have our parents or our spouse or our other loved ones, that they won't be as convenient to reach out to. And besides that, think about how convenient it is. We have so many ways to communicate with our family members and our friends. If you're on social networking, you can reach out to lots of folks in one simple entry. But I want us to think about the importance of reaching out to one person and letting that individual know how much you appreciate them. Think about your relationship with God. You can access the throne of God any time and every time. So this morning we've talked about counting our blessings, reminding you that we need to name them one by one. We've also talked about the importance of being content, realizing what we have and how wonderful it is. And yes, we have ambitions, we have plans, but that our lives must be characterized with a joy that comes from knowing we have so much that has blessed us in our lives, especially our spiritual blessings. And then we need to express it. We need to let folks know. Most importantly, we need to let ourselves know and let God know how we feel about our blessings. The word happy is connected to the concept of happiness. Of course, happy, happiness. It's also connected to the word happenings. What happens to us determines our level of happiness. But that's not going to sustain us. Happiness is determined by what happens to us. But joy does not. That's why James doesn't begin his letter in James 1 verse 3, count it all happiness when you encounter various trials. He says, count it all joy. That's not going to change based on what happens to us. Here James says, count it all joy when we encounter various trials and tribulations. How do we do that? Because we know what this is producing. It is producing endurance, the ability to keep on keeping on. And he goes on to say in chapter 1, it will ultimately lead to eternal life. And that's what we talked about last week. James 1, verses 12 through 15. We need to express ourselves. And in this song, I hope we will be able to do just exactly that. There is sunshine in my soul. Let's sing a verse or two of that song as we think about expressing our joy to God and to each other.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows His smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King, and Jesus listening can I cannot sing. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows His smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love, for blessing which He gives me now, for joys laid up above. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful on His throne, when Jesus shows His smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
In just a moment, don't go too far, Lucas, we're going to sing number 191 as an invitation song. Number 191. I appreciate your kind attention this morning as we have tried to emphasize the importance of being thankful. I'm going to go back to Colossians 3 for just a moment. I want you to observe with me that in these few verses, verses 12 through 17, Paul talks about thanksgiving, being thankful, three times. I just want to point them out to you. What he says at the end of verse 15 is that we should be thankful. And then at the end of verse 16, thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's what we should express. And then he says again at the end of verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Can you see how Paul emphasizes this quality? Thankfulness is so important. As a child of God, we have so much to be thankful for. Sometimes we do sin, and we forget, we neglect our obligations and the privilege of being a child of God, we take for granted. If you're here this morning and you've done that, you have been unfaithful to the Lord, this song of invitation is intended to motivate you and encourage you to get your life right with Him. If you've never named Jesus as Lord and Savior, we especially extend this invitation to you because we want you this morning to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You would give us such pleasure and delight to witness that. It would be a privilege for us. So as we sing this song, as a song of invitation, we hope right now you'll make your way to the front. Let's stand. Let's sing.
191. Be not dismayed, but every time
God will take care of you. Love of thine, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, for all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, for all the take care of you. God.